Hello, it's Monday, April 3rd, and you are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I'm your host, Chris, and this is show number 50. We are two away from a year. Check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, podcast feeds, and our downloadable show archive. If you want to send us an email, including audio, please send that puppy to videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. With us today, we have Keith.
Hello.
And we have Bob.
And he taketh her on the... And the man riseth and goeth to his place. Judges 19, verse 28.
Okay. Thank you for that bit of religious history there.
That was moving.
Yeah, it's another pretty lame news week, but we have a decent interview with EA later in the show, and we can chat about the following. This week we have What's New at Dream Station. We have a PC review of Dungeons & Dragons, some subtitle that I don't remember. Also, UMDs are dying.
They were ever alive?
Okay. They're viruses.
Aren't those the things that Colin Powell tried to convince the UN to wreck head? They have all the UMDs. We must stop them. Before they release them on the world.
Microsoft did a relaunch of the 360 in Japan. Speaking of Japan.
Wow, that's well worth the effort.
Ubisoft has been sued for using Star Force, believe it or not. Factor Crap, our forum question, our mailbag, and our interview with EA's John Calhoun. He's the designer of Godfather, the game.
Next topic.
So, housekeeping. We're going to have a little bit longer housekeeping just because there was a whole bunch of news that's not quite worthy of discussing. We were at features on iTunes. They have a little featured section, and they did the gaming, and we were actually on the second page. So, before, we were on the fourth page, so we've moved quite a ways up in the world.
Awesome. We're doubly as popular as we were.
Now we know where that 6,400 or whatever listeners came from. Although, iTunes has a place in it so you can review the podcasts. So I'm going to reread one of the reviews here. So this one is a review from Nightwind. He says, one of the most uninformed, sloppy produced, useless gaming podcasts around.
Yes.
Go download the more podcast for proper news. This is just a joke. It sounds like the hosts have never ever played a game before. It's utter rubbish. That's the type of review you get if you guys don't go to iTunes and fill in reviews for our show. People will have to read that. So, but if you disagree, go into iTunes and rate us and give a review and all that other good
stuff. What if we agree?
If you agree, then...
Can I go vote for him?
Thing is that this dude has 7 reviews done, and 6 of them were on... podcasts, and one of them was on ours. Those 6, he gave them all 5s, and then he reviewed ours. So I guess I'm honored that he took the time to berate us as such.
Meh, I'm indifferent.
We're utter rubbish.
Yeah, but who doesn't like rubbish?
I don't like rubbish.
Oh, you lie.
I like rubbish.
See?
Oh, it was April Fool's Day this past weekend. I'm not a big fan of April Fool's. I think it's a big waste of time when people try and do jokes and say it's news. So it was extra hard to sort through the garbage to get you news this week. Just be aware.
Don't think I can outdo my one joke where I convinced my one buddy that he was getting kicked out of school and he called his dad and cried.
All right,
this is back in the early days of email. And all I did was take my message that was telling me what grades I was getting. And then I just put that address as the return address and sent him an email saying that he failed some class and then dropped out of another one on like the 8th week. And so he got an incomplete for it. And so I emailed him and said in some real official terms that because of his poor performance last quarter, we can no longer allow you to continue attending the Ohio State University. And he like paced around for like a couple hours and eventually called his dad. I don't know. Oh, God. I don't know what I'm going to do, Dad. I'm so sorry. I really screwed up this time. But yeah, I can't outdo that, so I don't. Unless I think of something better, then I'll try again.
My best one was sitting there with a guy at school, and his girlfriend started choking, and he didn't know CPR, but I did. I said, don't worry, I'll save her, but instead I stabbed her, and she died. I said, April Fools.
April Fools!
Okay, so what games is everybody playing?
Well, let's see. I continued to play D&D again, and I'm also involved in a video game making class this quarter where I'm using a rendering engine called Ogre 3D.
Keith?
Played a little bit more of The Godfather. Played a little bit of D&D, and I played Emilio the Whooping Llama, and that's it.
We're going to get to Emilio the Whooping Llama, the game, in a minute. Played only 2 games, really. Nintendo Tetris DS for the DS, obviously. The Godfather for the Xbox, and the 360 has gotten zero love this week.
I think after spending the $700-$800 on it, you'd make it a point to at least play it for an hour every week.
Big ham sandwich to digital creator and coach Val and anybody else that I missed on our site or on my friend list. They were selected as Xbox Live ambassadors for the free weekend that just happened. I don't know very much about this, but basically they are noob sheepdogs, so they go around and they herd the noobs and they help them out and stuff. So.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, cull them.
You guys want to send me an email and let me know the details and how it went? That would be appreciated. We still have a Land of Legends contest for the PC game Land of Legends. I will have the link in the show notes. The response was quite underwhelming. I think we got 2 responses, not even enough to cover the number of games that I have. So this is pretty pathetic, guys. Let's send me some poll questions, forum questions for the week, and you'll be entered to win Land of Legends. We are going to be having some other contests up and coming. Off the top of my head, there's one for Amped 3 for the Xbox 360, and there's one for 24. I don't remember the system. That stuff will be coming soon.
VCR? DVD?
No, it's the actual game. Believe it or not, they made a game about
24. They made 24. A game out of 24. Probably doesn't have much replay value.
Yeah, you're Keith Sutherland, and you run around and you bite other teenagers, and you hang out in the amusement park under the bridge. Fish in a Barrel, show number 10. I was a guest on that one. That I will have the link in the show notes. I don't think I actually pimped it in the podcast because I forgot, so I apologize to Bill, Steve, and James, and I'll have the link in the show notes. Fuse did an Emilio the Llama game. Fuse is a member of our Dream Station forums, and we will have the link in the show notes. I must precede it. We played it. It seemed to work fine. I don't have any viruses or anything, but that being said, DreamStation.cc is not responsible if your computer blows up, explodes, or it moves all your files or anything like that, so you have been warned. The MC Frags a Lot update. So Tom, we have the nickname for him of MC Frags a Lot. He has a little bit of an update. If you guys remember, he left his house because his roommate got involved with Mr. Drug Thug. So since leaving his house, Mr. Drug Thug busted into the roommate's house and trashed the place. So it was a good thing that Tom wasn't there.
There was no respect being shown.
After that, Mr. Thug was arrested in a meth raid on the roommate's other house.
This is the neighborhood we live in. Yay!
Good job, Garfield Heights, Ohio. This is Mr. Thugalicious's 8th offense. And he's being brought to Cleveland rather than the local suburb police because I guess the suburb police do nothing after 8 offenses of drugs. More on that later when Tom gets back on the show. Nintendo has stated that $60 is too much for games. That's good news. It makes sense. More and more, I'm pretty sick of paying $60 for a rehash of a game on the 360 specifically, like Burnout, Far Cry, Gun, all that stuff. Pretty much the same game that you played already on your current generation console, so...
$59.99 because $60 is too much.
The Battlefield, this was the only thing I did do on the Xbox this week. I approved 1 or 2 friends. Again, my gamer tag is C. Paladino.
What did you do? I approved 2 people to be my friend.
I got the Battlefield demo for the Xbox Live Marketplace. Got it. Haven't played it. I guess I'll do that sometime this week. More Xbox crap. The backwards compatibility list has been updated. Now for the 360, you get to play wonderful games such as Black and Star Wars Battlefront 2 and Winning 11 Soccer 9. I know everybody's been waiting for that one, holding their breath.
There's a 9?
There's a 9. Winning 11 Soccer 9. Let's just throw more random numbers in there. Let's get zip codes of famous players.
Winning 11 Soccer 9, 2032.
90210. World of Warcraft news. Yes, the game has been patched to version 1.10. Sounds all fine and good, except that reports are coming in. World of Warcraft used BitTorrent to distribute their files. That way, when they get the patch, they're not being swarmed by 5 million people getting the file. So you're paying $15-$20 a month. In addition to that, they're using your bandwidth. According to the 1.10 patch, reports are coming in that BitTorrent is always on. Even when you close the updater, previously when the updater was on, you would help share files. When you close the updater, you were done sharing the files. Now, supposedly, the BitTorrent is always on, and they are using your bandwidth constantly, whether you want to or not, as part of the terms of license and service. So people are kind of up in arms on that one, and I think World of Warcraft really...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they're just going to have throngs and throngs of people deleting their accounts.
I log in.
I also think it's a real pile of horse crap that World of Warcraft and Blizzard, they're making whatever $5 million times $15. Let's just say $50 million per month and using your bandwidth. So GameTap, the online subscription service, is going to allow TV. They're going to have like a GameTap TV. They're also lowered their price to play these older kind of PC games from $15 a month US to $10 a month US. So $10 a month, I guess, is a better deal than $15. I haven't played it, so I can't speak of it. Lastly, I probably won't be making an appearance at E3 this year, which is kind of bums me out, to be honest. There's some stuff going on with the job. It basically comes down to financials. So unless random big company or random person comes and says, hey, we want you to go to E3 and we're going to pay you for it.
I just don't have any expenses. That's the whole thing.
I'm honestly really, really bummed about this, planning on doing it next year, but I said that last year. What I did look into is in October, the end of October, there's a Philadelphia game conference.
That is significantly less important.
But it's significantly closer to home, so.
It's Philadelphia. Didn't you see the Fresh Prince of Bel Air? You know, not to shoot b-ball outside of the school. A couple of guys will be up to no good. They'll start making trouble in the neighborhood.
I get in one little fight, my mom gets scared.
Hey, but then I get to go to Bella. Anyway, continue.
Next topic.
New at Dream Station. PC review of City of Villains is new at Dream Station. We have an NBA, it's 2006. We have an M-Audio Revolution 7.1 sound card review for the PC. That's probably pretty good, because that's the little thing that I use is M-Audio. We also have a possibility of a Nintendo DS Lite article by M9.
Next topic.
Alright, so we got a PC review of Dungeons & Dragons Online Stormreach.
Are we going to skip the basic premise of the game? I think it's an MMO.
Right, it's an MMO based on the Dungeons & Dragons role-playing game. You know, the D20, I think it's version 3.5 rules.
Well, I think the neatest thing that they tried to do with this game was all of the experience is quest-based, where you can't just like walk out into a random spawn zone and just start slaughtering enemies that happen to show up and level up that way. You
can't kill
quest.
5,000 sheep to gain a level.
Yes, you don't have to fight bees and butterflies for half an hour.
So what they try to do is make all of it quest-based and really focus in on the group aspect. Pretty much means you can't do anything by yourself. You need a well-rounded group. I had a fighter, and Keith has a cleric, and between the two of us, it's usually enough to make it through some of the easier missions. Follow standard D&D rules. You don't level up nearly as fast as you do with other games. I mean, I think the highest level you can be in the game is level 10, but they have one rank 1 and level 1 rank 2, and you get access to a few more abilities.
That was one of the problems I had, is in every MMO, yes, you kill bumblebees and stuff, but the best part of that is that you've leveled within 5 or 10 minutes. In Dungeons & Dragons, you had to go through the tutorial, and I think it gave you a free rank. And then after that, I went up one or two more ranks in many hours of play. And it was just kind of, it sucked away some of the drive. You know, there's that point where you get to be grinding, and I felt like I was grinding almost.
I can agree with that. You do level up awfully slowly, and there isn't much in the way of gear. The combat is a lot different. Rather than just the standards, pick your target and go on auto attack, hold shift and press the direction to tumble out of the way, or if you're a fighter and you have a shield, you can hit the shift key and you'll block.
I like this fighting a whole lot more than any other fighting system, because it isn't just, okay, I got him targeted, now press 1. All right, now when that recharges, press 2. You get bonuses for if you flank it, so it makes it worthwhile to actually move around behind the creature if it's able to.
But I think it's bad in the way that I was kind of hoping this would feel more like tabletop D&D than it does, and the fact that the combat is a little more twitch-based takes away from that, I think.
I like what they're trying to do, trying to make you interact more and not just sit back like a City of Heroes and hit 1, 2, 3, 4. The problem I have with it is that there's too much going on. If I want to get that twitchy, because it's awfully twitchy, I mean, you really have to hit shift to throw your block. If you're a thief, you want to tumble around or you'll get hit and killed since you don't have a lot of hit points. It's almost like first-person shooter concentration level, at least for me, and maybe I'm just an idiot. It's got the little dice to be like D&D. Oh, you rolled a 17, you hit. It just was like, pick one way or the other.
The game feels incomplete. It feels a bit rushed, and like Chris said, they think they need to really focus on it one way or the other and clean it up a little bit. There's still enough lag that I don't think you can do Twitch combat like that effectively in a game with this many players. Mobs get stuck on geometry and everything else, and you're trying to attack, and you're swinging, and you're not hitting in. It feels like it wasn't tested enough, and I think in about 6 months, probably be a good game. Right now, it's okay.
In defense, I mean, most MMOs, to be honest, they have about a 3 to 6 month period where you probably shouldn't be buying the game anyways. I mean, World of Warcraft was the same way. It just wasn't my style of play.
I like the fact that it's not experience from just killing things.
Honestly, if Chris's Thief would have worked right, we probably would have had many more options on ways to complete a quest. Because when you're given a quest, you're just given a goal. It's like, retrieve this artifact however you can. And usually the artifact is sitting in a room somewhere, like a main guy doesn't even have it. So if you're a thief, you should be able to just sneak through, backstab a couple people, pick up the artifact, leave.
In reality, though, at least my thief, who I put every point I could into like being a thief, sneaking and hiding and opening locks, it didn't work. Plus, I couldn't fight very well, so maybe I just suck. And like you guys said, it was a little bit too group-based for my taste. They have voice chat built into the group, which is very cool because I don't have to bother typing, especially with combat and everything. But he's yelling at me, oh, you're an idiot, you're a noob, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, the game's been out 2 weeks. Everyone's a noob. Relax. Graphics, I think everything is the same drab color scheme. Everything looks pretty much the same. I couldn't tell where I was by looking around.
You know, I was kind of underwhelmed by the graphics.
Keith, Keith, what would you give this game?
I would probably give it like a 7. It's all right. It's not great. It's not horrible. It's all right. It's like every game that comes out finds something that's better than the other stuff. Then they break everything else.
Yeah, about a 7, 7.5.
And believe it or not, I thought I was going to like this one a whole lot less than you guys. I would give it about a 6.5, so we're in the same ballpark. If I'm going to play D&D, I'll go play pen and paper D&D. If I want to play an MMO, I'm probably going to stick with City of Heroes or maybe even WoW, because it just, to me, those games are more polished and more complete and I had more fun. So overall, Dream Station can't really recommend you go and buy this one. At least if you're going to give it a try, you have to be a D&D fan. You may want to wait a couple months for some patches.
Next topic.
So UMDs are dying. UMD, again, is the Universal Media Disc. Walmart is reported to be quitting the UMD sales. If you remember, the Universal Media Disc, by Universal they mean proprietary because it only works in the Sony PSP. A head honcho at Universal, the movie studio, said, hey, sales are near zilch. It's another Sony bomb. So Universal has much good to say about Sony. Other companies have come out and said that they're going to be pulling back and or quitting entirely the production and sale of UMDs. So this is not good news for the PSP because this was a big selling point, according to Sony. They released all this info about how movies are great to watch on the PSP and everyone's buying them, even though they're twice as much. I guess it was all apparently marketing hype. Sony came out and said, hey, we may have UMD playback onto the TV, kind of in a last-ditch effort to please help buy our PSP. Yes, we know there's only about 3 games, but you can watch movies. Well, now you can't even watch movies. Probably not going to be a standalone player, even if it does come for TV. They'll probably have some sort of official device that you can hook to your PSP. This is all rumor at this point. You can watch stuff on your iPod now. Much better video, much better media player in general. Games are supposed to be what the PSP is for. It's failed at that, in my opinion. I understand that they do have some good games. They have Siphon Filter, which I played over the weekend from Ivan. If the movie industry is getting ticked at Sony about this one, I'm questioning how they're going to be as far as accepting the Blu-ray format, which is supposed to go against the IHD DVDs.
Sony has got a big head, and they try to do their own thing. Oh, we're Sony. We'll do this, and people will follow. That's what happened to Nintendo back in the day when PlayStation came out.
Nintendo seems to get away with it a lot more than Sony does. Maybe it's a Japanese perspective of doing business. I don't know.
And real quick, to talk about Blu-ray and HD DVDs, the Blu-ray player, the first Panasonic Blu-ray player, when it comes to the United States shores, which will be in, I think, September, it's going to cost less than $1,500, which to me means $1,499.99. In the opposite corner of this whole next-gen DVD format, we have the HD DVD, which was launched by Toshiba in Japan this past week. It'll be about $1,000 when translated into United States dollars. So HD DVD is a little bit cheaper. HD DVD.
Next topic.
Oh, Microsoft relaunches the 360 in Japan. They already had the launch of the Japan version of the Xbox 360. In the end of June, Japan will get a re-release from Microsoft of the 360 gaming console because it was a total flop the first time around. The only thing selling worse than the 360 in Japan at this point in time are the old Game Boy Advance and the original Xbox. So I guess technically they're doing better than last generation, but this is pretty pathetic. I kind of equate this with hitting yourself in the face with a hammer over and over, realizing, hey, that's not a good idea. That really, really hurts. And then making plans to do it again in 2 months from now, and maybe you'll get a different result.
Oh, this milk's sour. And then put it back in the fridge.
Right.
Come back 2 months later. No, it's still sour. Put it back in the fridge.
I am a fan of Microsoft. I like all the systems, but I bought the 360. I think it has a lot of potential. Probably hasn't realized that potential fully yet. I just think this is bad for Microsoft. If they can't even crack the Japanese market, I really don't think they can win the next gen war. I think Japan has too much brand loyalty with Sony, and it's just they're going to come in second place again, unless they can really do something.
Part of the reason why Sony keeps making rubbish. Hey, Sony should help produce our podcast.
There was a brand loyalty survey that was just released by Forrester Research, and they talked about all the different companies and customer perception of these companies. Sony got an A+ for customer perception. A+. So they had rootkit issues, they had all this stuff about the PS3 and the delays and everything else. A+ for customer perception.
That just shows how stupid people really are.
They must not be well informed, I guess. Because Nintendo, who I think of as a very these fans of Nintendo, if you bad talk Mario, they will burn down your village and rip your goats. They gotta be. Microsoft, who pretty much people hate because of the whole PC world, they gotta see. They haven't had any big scandals like they did with Sony and the rootkit. They pretty much contain or address at least the Windows bugs and viruses because they have these, the first Tuesday of every month they will release patches, and yet they're still behind both Nintendo. I don't agree with the results of that survey.
I mean, I'm sure Sony gets a lot of sales just because they're Sony.
There used to be a point when you wanted a Walkman, you needed a Sony. The same way that if you want an MP3 player today, 99% of you are going to go buy an Apple iPod. I just don't think that's still carrying over, although apparently I'm completely wrong because they got an A+ with the customer perception, so.
Next topic.
Ubisoft sued for using Starforce. Once again, we keep saying it. Starforce is a Russian-based CD copy protection for PC games. They do things that a lot of people consider swindly because they install low-level drivers on your PC. It's been reported to damage your PC, reboot at random intervals, cause DVD and CD drives not to function properly, etc., etc. The list goes on. It's only a matter of time while somebody finally started suing. Ubisoft is a victim of a $5 million class action lawsuit. The interesting thing about this is they're not suing Starforce, they're suing Ubisoft, who uses the Starforce copy protection on their games.
You knew what you were doing. Don't you lie.
I don't know how it's going to go down in court. I don't understand how you're going to sue the company even though they're using it, because it's not really the company that's damaging your computer. The company's using technology that's potentially damaging to your computer.
I am not a lawyer.
I'm not so much
like
a lawyer.
Like Seven Steps to Kevin Bacon, dude. I don't know. How are we going to get to Starforce? Well, let's start a Ubisoft.
Starforce killed my cat.
Next topic.
Fact or crap time. We haven't had one of these in a while, so we're going to get into the fact or crap. So we got four topics this week. We have one crap, and three facts. So number one, a Roman MMO will punish misbehaviors by virtually crucifying them in public locations. Number two, a case was just won in court where somebody had a self-made World of Warcraft guide for leveling in gold on eBay, and Blizzard put an end to it. Well, he sued them and won the rights to sell it. That was number two. Number three is an anti-video game death, if you believe this one. There was a drive-by shooting, and two people died in the shooting, but the kids were safe. The reason was they were inside the living room playing PlayStation 2. And the last one, number four here. There was an issue where girls went around a city and they put up Mario Brothers question mark boxes throughout the city, hung from trees and poles. Well, the April Fool's joke went sour and they called in hazmat and a bomb squad to look at these suspicious packages. And that was number four. So you got number one, the Roman MMO that crucifies you. Number two, the guy that sued Blizzard and won for the ability to sell his leveling guide on eBay. Number three, the fact that these children were actually saved by the PlayStation 2 in a drive-by shootout. And number four, Mario's little question mark box that are actually needed to be called in hazmat and the bomb squad to put these things out.
The crap is number two. The wild guy on eBay. That thing. No one beats Blizzard. They're too powerful.
And Keith?
No child was saved by Sony. Sony devours the souls of children. They don't. They don't save them.
But I will stay with my first choice just so we're different.
All right, so let's go through these. And first, I will say that Bob was correct.
Yes.
The crap was that the guy was selling this guide on eBay for leveling and gold making. They put an end to it because it was an infringement of copyrighted material. He is suing Blizzard for the right to sell it. It's going to court now. It hasn't actually gone, and we're going to see how this ends up. I believe that he's not going to win. Just my opinion. The one that Keith picked the one where the anti-video game death in Columbus, Ohio, of all places, yes, right where Bob is currently staying. Yay. There was a drive-by shooting. Two people were killed, and the police chief was quoted as saying that the reason that these two little kids were not also killed in this drive-by was that they were in the living room playing PlayStation 2, and the PlayStation 2 actually had saved their life. So, haha, Bumblefoot. Bumblefoot is the Florida lawyer that we talking about.
Two saved their life.
A Roman MMO will punish misbehaviors by virtually crucifying public locations. That's a fact. The game is called Roma Victor, and when you act up enough to get banned, during your ban time, you'll be in-game publicly crucified. They will hang you from a cross in a virtual world.
You wouldn't even bother doing that. I mean, you would just sit there. You'd have the guy that stripped down to his underwear, would run around the cross jumping, and while he's in the air, spinning in circles, going, woo, 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 you're being crucified.
Whoop, whoop. That's what happens to people who hate Jesus. How cool are you when your 3-day ban is up that you actually get down off the cross and make everyone bow before you because who survived being crucified and came back to noob you again? I ganked your equipment, was crucified, and rose from the dead to gank yet again. I talked about Ohio being in the news all over the place. Yes, Ravenna, Ohio. Wonderful Ravenna. There was an issue where these five girls in the ages of 16 and 17, they thought it would be funny to put an April Fool's joke. They made the little Mario question mark boxes that Mario hits and gets gold and mushrooms. They hung them around 17 different boxes around the city. The cops said they were suspicious. They called in the bomb squad. They called in hazmat. That's the environmental hazard people that come in the biohazard suits and hose you down with anti-chemical weapons and kill your children.
Yes, that is a version of hazmat to kill your children.
I liked that last part. Well, then you have to call in Sony to save them.
The joke went sour and the people were like, yes, you wasted all this taxpayer money and we're actually going to press charges now. They want to press criminal charges against these girls.
Next topic.
Forum question. So again, we have a weekly forum question. As a matter of fact, that is the very subject of our Land of Legends PC game giveaway contest. It's a 2D strategy game. You can win it if you send us in a weekly poll question, because we keep running out of them. If you want to go check out and or vote in this said general forum poll of the week, dreamstation.cc, and on the left-hand side, there's a general forums link. Click that puppy, and it will be like show X poll topic. So, for example, next week's will be show number 51 poll question. The current poll was something to the effect of, if Don Corleone, because we've been on a Godfather kick, put a hit out on a classic video game character, who would actually be the most problem?
Number one at 23.08% is Gordon Freeman from Half-Life. Number two is that little pudgy Dago Mario. Number three is...
Wait, what percentage was Mario's vote?
Mario was 15.38. Three-way tie for number three between, and get this, because this is good company, Pac-Man, Kratos from the God of War, and Psyduck.
That's just, Kratos is just sad and mad that he has to team up with those two yellow punks. And what percentage is that, 12% for the three-way tie?
12.82.
I think it was actually a pretty well-received poll question. It was kind of out in left field, but...
I would like to change my vote. I voted for Kratos... But in hindsight, I would rather pick Evil Otto, because you can't shoot Evil Otto. He's immune to bullets, and if you touch him, you die. There's no way to kill him.
Had you have voted correctly, then, what you're saying is that Kratos wouldn't be on the podium with Psyduck and Pac-Man.
He would have been beaten out by Pac-Man and Psyduck. Cheesy monkey sandwich. I pick Psyduck because he's just a friggin' idiot, and he would use his stupid against the Don. I can't argue that. Our Spitfire set, Duke Nukem, because no one has seen this guy for f***ing near a decade. I'm sure he'd have no problem hiding from the Don and his thug.
That was the best. That was my personal favorite there. The joke there, for people who are too dense to get it, is that Duke Nukem Forever was supposed to come out for, I don't know, the last 10 years, and it still hasn't been released.
Metroid. I wonder who he picked. As much as I'd hate to say it, Mario. Now, I don't understand how Mario, pudgy little plumber, beats out Kratos and...
A lot of the comments that people were saying about Mario is that he's an Italian plumber. You know, all Italians in construction, you're Italian, Keith. You know what that really means, is that you're really in the mob.
Yes, but mob people whack each other constantly. But anyway, he said if Mario was put on a hit list, you'd have to face the wrath of six-year-olds who fight extremely well, as well as their parents, who can't fight as all, but can vote losers in the political power. And those elected officials can put you in jail, though you'd break out in mere minutes, you'd still have to face those six-year-olds. And then he said, second Samus, because no pistol bullets could possibly penetrate Samus's beauty. Armor. Yeah, she's so flexible. She rolls into a tiny ball. Someone has some fantasies here about about Samus. She could bend around your swinging Godfather-style choker hands. I like Samus now, too, after that description.
I've also gotten a lot of feedback, I might as well say now. The Godfather coverage and the reviews and everything was pretty well received, so I guess it's good that for the next 2 weeks you're going to be hearing about the Godfather, because we have the EA review. So if you were sick of the Godfather, tough crap.
Sounds good, too. Psyduck, yeah, he would probably walk up to Corleone and all, and, well, do something stupid. The Don would probably then shoot him through the head, but since Pokemon don't die, he would just get a headache.
I like Disco Vader. New artwork. I don't remember that avatar, and his little yin-yang pirate ninja thing is awesome.
It says yin-yar. Got a ninja on the left and a pirate on the right. It says embrace the tower, he walked the plank.
White Assassin 10 actually has the first decent comment from Mario. Obviously Mario, because he's always in another world. You can never find him. Your princess is in another castle. It'd take a while.
So again, if you want to win Land of Legends, all you gotta do is send us an email with some poll questions. Pretty much there's like two or three entries now, and we have about that many copies of the game, so chances are very high of you winning. So whereas you would normally send us stuff before, now all of a sudden people aren't. So Scott Lance is mad. He's gonna put a hit out on you. Alright, so next week's question that we're going to talk about here is going to be... Alright, what's the biggest turnoff when you dislike a new game? Lack of playability, which means bad controls or a crappy camera angle. Too much emphasis on the graphics. That would be either a really choppy frame rate, maybe your machine isn't most powerful enough to play it, or the game is really, really pretty but has no depth or substance. Multiplayer issues, that would be a lack of multiplayer or too much emphasis on multiplayer. Interactivity problems, such as the game is much too linear, there are too many cutscenes, or it's too sandbox freeform, so you don't really have a direction. Game length, that would be either too short or too long, no replay value, for example. Or lastly, the price. So again, what turns you off most about a new game that you don't like? Playability, too much emphasis on graphics, multiplayer issues, interactivity, game length, or price?
Next topic.
We're going to do a very abbreviated mailbag. The reason is because I got to get a 25-minute interview with EA into the next two podcasts. The mailbag, we got one question from Hero that I'm going to answer. Hero is from Gaming360. He has three questions. The first one, I'm looking for a Nintendo DS title to play. Can you recommend any? I'll answer that one right now. Trauma Center, I think, is both fun, challenging, and it actually uses the Nintendo DS two screens and the stylus to the best of its ability. There are actually other good DS games like Advance Wars or Castlevania, Kirby, but I think Trauma Center really sums up in one game what the DS is all about. Supposedly Metroid Hunters is pretty good for the DS, but I have not yet played it, so I don't want to recommend something that may or may not suck. It's gotten good reviews on Game Rankings. The second question Hero asks is, what do you guys think of games such as Brain Age for the Nintendo DS? These are kind of mom and grandma and girlfriend games that try and test your brain age, so they're doing like brain puzzles or little math logic problems, Sudoku.
I think enough at school. If I want to play video games, I need something mindless.
I dig Sudoku.
Sudoku, that one where you put all the numbers in a row?
Numbers in the grid, yeah, 1 through 9. Keith, do you have an opinion on brain games for...
I don't care, as long as the name's in English.
Number 3, what console do you think will have the best showing at this year's E3? If I had to guess, I'd say the Revolution, because if they show anything remotely playable, that's going to be the big wow factor. I think the Xbox we've seen, the PlayStation 3, it's probably up there with the Xbox, but...
Next topic.
The last topic is, we have an interview with EA's John Calhoun. John was the guy who designed the Godfather game. So EA was actually nice enough to let us talk to him. He's a lead designer. The audio quality isn't as good as I would have liked. They did not have Skype installed, so I had to be done with my little rigged up phone line thing. Really, really had a blast doing it. The guys were human. They were very cool.
Humans? Wow, really?
They're a big company. EA, everybody makes fun of EA. We do our share of ribbing on EA, roster update 07 and all that. But yeah, that was a little embarrassing, I have to say. And I mean, EA is a huge company. They don't really need to do podcast interviews on a little indie podcast like us, so I appreciate the opportunity to get this podcast interview. I hope you guys enjoy this interview. It's probably going to be about 10-15 minutes in this show and another 10 or 15 minutes in the next show. This is part one. Thank you guys very much for taking the time to do the interview with us here at Dream Station. Can you give us a brief who you are and what your role is down at Electronic Arts?
Okay, well, my name is John Calhoun, and I'm one of the gameplay designers on The Godfather. What I do is I'm responsible for the story, the missions, and some of the gameplay mechanics, and in general, all the gameplay designers. It's our job to make sure that things are fun.
One of the first things that I was looking at when I got into the whole Godfather thing is that it's a mature rated game. Was there a conscious decision to make it M rated, or was it because it was based on a rated R movie and it was just that the content of the movie itself lended itself to be mature rated?
Well, obviously we don't determine what the rating is going to be, but our goal from the very beginning was to make sure our game was authentic to the Godfather experience. And the Godfather movie obviously is rated R, but it's rated R not because it's exploitive or extra violent. It's just a mature movie. There's mature themes, there is some violence, there's some sex, but it's kind of handled in a very mature and responsible way, and we want it to live up to those standards. When we made the game, we want to make sure that people compare our great game to a great movie like The Godfather in all aspects, violence, and that kind of stuff included.
When you look at the Grand Theft series and you look at the things that are in that game that tag it as a mature or even adults-only kind of title, I think just from playing The Godfather game, and I've played the game probably 3 or 4 hours, so I haven't gotten tons into it. I just picked it up last night. I'm enjoying it so far, but like you said, the violence isn't reckless abandon that Grand Theft has, where you're capping hookers and you're stealing your money back, and there's this whole kind of thug theme where it's almost like promoted to be violent.
Absolutely. Like, one of the things that we focus on in our game is consequences. For us, it's all about the ends, and violence is just one of the means to that end. But there are other alternatives, and if you only play the game for 4 hours, you'll see what I'm talking about kind of later on. But there's different approaches you can take. I think maybe some of our competitors, they focus more on the means and not so much on the end. And that's totally fine. I mean, there's definitely games out there where you just want to have that absolute visceral experience. But for us, it's really important to make sure that the player was focused on what he's trying to achieve, and that's become God of New York, earned respect. Violence is just one of the ways that you can go about doing that.
Kind of hit on Grand Theft Auto for a little bit. With all that hot coffee stuff going around and the way that the ESRB has kind of been cracking down on games, you guys were a little worried about, I mean, the whole point when choking a guy and the controller vibrates according to his heartbeat. I mean, when you sit and look at it, it's kind of a little bit extreme. Is that something that you had to tone back at any point, or did they say, hey, man, this is really pushing the limit of what we can accept?
You know, there's some things that we cut out of the game, but mostly because they weren't fun. In terms of toning back the violence, I don't think we ever went too far and said, oh, we can't do this because this is going to get us a slap on the wrist. I mean, we're trying to make a game that everyone can enjoy 18 and over, obviously. But it's got to be fun. It's got to be entertaining. And for some people, myself included, if you're starting to feel uncomfortable, or if the game is just too graphic and too violent, it really takes away from like what you're really trying to do, which is have a good time, have fun. So anything like that that kind of detracted from fun, we just didn't go for it.
I assume you know this. There was a study that was done, I think, a couple weeks ago that said when EA had announced, yeah, we're kind of getting back into the M-rated games into our catalogs, that the stock actually went up. I guess that's kind of an echo of society and maybe what they're looking forward to. I think all of us have grown up, and I'm 30 years old, so we've grown up with EA Sports titles and EA from everything all the way back, clear back to PC. Maybe what that shows then is we're getting a little bit older, so we're not shying away from some, you know, more mature content.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's probably the reason why The Godfather is like such a great first step into that area, because it is mature, it is for adults, but it's also respected. There is a great storyline to it. I think it also maybe kind of reflects the fact that there's all this new hardware out there, like the Xbox 360, for example. Awesome piece of hardware, but the early adopters are definitely the hardcore gamers. They're the kind of people who are going to want a mature, sophisticated game. I'm sure that as time goes on, the market's going to broaden, and we're going to see more titles in different areas. I'm looking forward to that. You know, the more games for everyone out there, the better it is for everybody.
In this particular game, did you actually start doing a Mafia-style game and then acquire the Godfather license?
From the very beginning, it was always the Godfather first, and then when we tried to find the best style of play to adopt to that license, we went through a couple of different ideas early on, but the open world, the urban mayhem, the sandbox, you know, whatever you want to call that genre of game, it really seemed like the most appropriate because you could really take that to a lot of really cool and exciting places. When we started with The Godfather almost 2-3 years ago, that was our favorite idea, you know, this big open world that you can explore and take over.
And you kind of answered my next question was, how long does it take for a game, specifically The Godfather game, to go from just an idea in somebody's brain all the way up till it goes gold?
Well, like I said, for Godfather, I mean, I'm sure that it was an idea in someone's brain, as you put it, 3 years ago. That's about like when I started, 3, 2.5 years ago. There's different stages, so it's not like we've been working hard in development for all those years. There's a lot of pre-production. In fact, you'd be surprised how much work goes into some of the early stages of the game. And that's where actually most of the cool mechanics come from, are when you're dealing with a really small group of people, just a couple engineers, a couple artists, and you really kind of get to the core of the game, what your gameplay is going to be. So for us, it was the black hand, which our combat scheme, the shooting, and it was this notion of like what you can do in a big world. And so we kind of focused on rackets and extortion and things like that.
Keep going back to Grand Theft because that's the obvious comparison.
Uh-huh.
The way we all described it is that it's Grand Theft, but all the polish and spit is on it, so it's really cleaned up. I mean, one of the biggest problems I had with GTA was the combat kind of sucked, to be quite frank. And Fight Night is a very good game. I dig that quite a bit, so it was a pretty seamless way to go from the melee in Fight Night to the melee in The Godfather, and it does feel appropriate for the time. You're not doing crazy backflips, you know, Matrix style or anything.
Absolutely, and you find you kind of mentioned Fight Night. Like, some of our guys on the Godfather team used to work on Knockout Kings, which then became Fight Night, and Tiger Woods. So if you ever played Tiger Woods game, you're kind of familiar with the analog swing, and it's really simple. Well, it sounds really simple. You know, you're swinging a golf club, but when you do it right, when you spend like 9 months just developing how you translate controller motion into things that you see on screen, you start to learn a few things, and we try to leverage that learning experience on the Godfather game, and what you've got is this great combat experience, which is really easy to pick up, and it's actually really deep. You might not get it at first, but I've been reading the forums and seeing what some of the fans have to say, and they're just like, no, I did this headbutt, or did you try elbowing the guy in the knee? There's a lot of cool moves that you can do, and it just feels really good.
You guys are EA, you guys are on the top, you get a lot of ribbing, and it kind of embarrassingly, we've done our share of ribbing. In all honesty, I mean, you guys have the community day. You invited our website out, who is not the IGN, they're not the GameSpot, they're, you know, gamers first, and you get feedback, you browse the forums, all that stuff adds up to exactly what gamers want. So I just want to say good job, and glad that you take the ribbon in good fun, and that you're not holding a grudge here against me or anything else.
I mean, don't forget, we're gamers too, so when the game comes out, we're on the forums, we're reading the reviews, and we're always thinking about not just sequels to our games, but new ideas, and sometimes you get the best ideas from the fans out there. I mean, they're really the ones who can tell you where games are going.
What's in store? I mean, you said you got there about 3 years ago, John, and you've been working on The Godfather. What's next? I mean, are you going to move to a different team, or how does that work?
Well, if you're asking about me personally, I mean, I'm currently involved on the 360 version of the game, which is going to be very exciting. I wish I could give you more details. But beyond that, it's just a lot of thinking about where games are going, how we can use cool things like Xbox Live and Marketplace. And the hardware is really making us excited about what we can do for gamers in the future.
There have been reports out there that you guys lost something like $800 million on this game between it being delayed and the stock price drop, and the fact that you guys, hooray for the gamers, is you dropped the price of the current generation titles to $40 instead of $50. That sounds like a ton of money, so what do you use to gauge success with The Godfather? If you've lost almost $1 billion on it, is it financial, a certain number you got to hit? Is it more from the business side? Do you look at game rankings and see what the score is?
I'm not a financial analyst, so I don't know any of the answers to those questions. But mm-hmm. when you're asking how do we gauge the success, how our development team, we read the reviews, we read the forums. You know, we wanted to make sure that the critics are being satisfied. And I think they have been. I mean, I think the reviews are very fair. They're very positive. But even better is seeing what the user reviews, you know, what the players are saying. Fortunately for us, the user reviews are higher than the critics, which means people who really spend a lot of time with them get into it. Are happy and they're having a good time and everyone's really enjoying The Godfather.
Yeah, I think last I checked, you guys were hovering right around 80% on game rankings, which is really actually pretty good.
Yeah, you know, for games, it sounds a little low, but when you consider how games are judged, an 80 is pretty stellar, and we're all really proud of it.
One thing that I guess bothered me a little bit, that, you know, one of the complaints that people were saying, and this is not coming from me, this is coming from in general on especially game rankings where they compile everything, the driving controls are a little wonky. You know, I kind of agree with that. The thing that kind of bothered me, and I wanted to get your guys' opinion on this one, is they were saying it's actually a pretty good game. It's very solid. It's got a lot of depth to it, but we expected more because of EA. We expected more because of the Godfather license. It almost sounds like they're saying, had you not had the Godfather license, they would have almost rated it a little bit better. Do you have a response to that at all?
I think the issue there is when you're dealing with the Godfather license, you have high expectations going in. I mean, the Godfather is considered like one of the greatest movies of all time, but it had to earn that reputation. Now, 30 years later, everyone's familiar with the movie, and here this game comes out. All those expectations have come built in, not like new franchise where people will give it a shot and give it on its own merits. They're starting us on the very top, the highest pedestal.
Right, you almost got two strikes against you.
Fortunately, the only place you can go from the top is go down a little. So in that essence, the Godfather license was kind of a challenge to work with, but it was also really satisfying. I think when you read what people are saying about the mechanics, yeah, there are some issues. We've read about the driving, we've read about some of the targeting, but the overall impression is that there's more positives than negatives. And first time out, there's some learning experiences, and you know, we don't ignore what people are saying, and we're definitely going to improve on all our elements in the future.
Now, you kind of brought up the next point of, we've had a little bit of rants on the whole PC game world. Patching is obviously, it's part of life. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
And now with Xbox Live, with the 360 specifically, it seems like they're not calling them patches, they're updates. But it's kind of weaseling its way in there. Are there any thoughts, not saying Godfather specifically, but is that something that you would say, hey, we got to adjust this issue, maybe we release an update? And then the fear then from a gamer perspective is it's going to become a PC all over again, and that's the whole reason we stay away from the PC and kind of go towards the console.
I mean, I don't really know the answer to that question. It's more of something that I'd probably ask my producer. Never once in a meeting where we talked about patching the console version. We kind of take the approach that once you go gold, that is like once it's on that Xbox disc and in a box, that's it, that's final. We try to take a lot of time and effort into making sure that our console versions are going to be as good as they can be when they go out the door, and we don't really plan for online patches or downloads for Xbox Live. But going back, don't forget, we're gamers too. Like, I don't want to go home, buy a piece of software, and then realize I got to download a patch just to make it work right. I mean, that would make me mad.
Give me feedback. Again, I know the audio quality on this thing wasn't as good as I would have liked it to have been. I'm going to try. I did the best I could, guys. It was on a phone. It was all the other stuff has been well-received. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed that one.
Next topic.
Well, that was pretty much the show. Unless anybody has anything else, you have been listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. This was show number 50. You can check out our website, DreamStation.cc, for all the ooze, news, reviews, interviews, cashews, forums, and downloadable show archive. Send us an email, videogameshow@DreamStation.cc. Vote for us if you want to on Podcast Alley. We have the Land of Legends contest that you can send in and submit question of the week. We also have upcoming contests in the near future to give you guys back a little something-something. If you dig us, you subscribe to us via iTunes. If you want to put in a review of our website on iTunes in their little podcasting area, we would appreciate that as well. And I think that's it, man. Hopefully you guys will like the show, even though it's utter rubbish, and you will come back next week.
Thanks for listening. Bye.